For my media and ministry project, I chose to do it on Kids Bible Venture, which is the children's ministry at my home church, Calvary Chapel. This ministry means a lot to me because I grew up on it and I've seen it evolve and change, especially with the implementation of media. I'm going to interview one of the coordinators, Melina McClellan, and talk about what she's seen in the ministry and how media has affected it for the worse or for the good and all the different things in between. Benita has been a coordinator of the curriculum since 2004, and so to see how it changed will be really interesting from her perspective. Hope you guys enjoy. So I'm here with Benita McClellan, who's been one of the coordinators of KBA. Its full name is called Kids Bible Venture at Calvary Chapel Newport News, and she's been a coordinator for over a decade. Hello, Benita.
Hi.
So let's jump right into it. So how did you get started in the children's ministry?
I got started in children's ministry because I teach outside of church. And I remember our pastor, Tony, telling us to definitely serve an area where our heart is already at. And that's where my heart is, to be with the kids and to teach them all the things about God.
And so before this role, did you have any background in church, education, media, or any type of things with like education and media?
Yes. My job I do every day is dealing with children and helping them learn and developmentally, and I help them with curriculum. So that's my job outside of church, but my job in the church has always been with children, whether it be VBS, whether it be overseeing ministries, but they're always pertaining to children.
And so, during COVID-19, the children's ministry responded to COVID by doing a digital series, kind of like using puppets and animations and all that, a lot of good stuff. And it launched and it was very successful. And why do you think that that was important that the church, this specific ministry, the children's ministry, used media in a ministry, and how has it affected?
It definitely kept our church family together. We always thrive on having a church where the children have their own place where they can learn at their age level. And so when the pandemic hit, parents can always watch Pastor Tony online, but we wanted to make sure the children had a program and access as well, to keep up with their lessons and to keep up with what we normally do at KBA in person. We wanted them to do something virtually at home. So that's when we introduced Zoom and we did virtual meetings and we did puppets and we sent out lessons and we sent out craft kits. And then that got us connected to the families more. And then that mom and dad played even a bigger role in getting them to learn their lesson. And it just became one big family. And just now that we're back and we have a lot of the KBA children's back, we still have things available for the children who still aren't completely back yet.
And can you describe kind of like what this series looked like?
The series basically was, depending on the age of your child, it would be, okay, so say Monday, we would have a Bible story. We will have an interactive song, and then we would have a craft that went with it. The children would have different assignments. It was always hands-on for the parents to help out. Then there was Zoom calls that we did every Wednesday, and parents can ask questions, the kids can ask questions. We had certain teachers kind of be leadership on that, so then that way they had their teachers that they're familiar with answering the questions, similar to what they would do if they were in the classroom.
And so did the teachers and that they normally see in class, would they be part of the animation series or puppets that they watch on the screen?
Yes, like with the younger babies, we had the infant teachers actually in the toddler and the twos do the puppet shows and do the crafts and do praise and worship. And so it was like kind of like having their teachers in their living rooms. And so they can relate because they're, oh, that's my teachers. And then it just kind of, it was more fluid that way to have familiar teachers and familiar faces.
And so, you know, a lot of times, a lot of people weren't that much, like, wasn't a fan of media in a ministry or, like, integrating media because they said it's a distraction. But what COVID showed us is that media can be a powerful tool to connect people when you're not able to be physically there. So I'm wondering, what was your philosophy in terms of media in the ministry, like in church, rather it be in the children's ministry, but also just in general, do you like churches that integrate a bunch of media and tech, or do you find it distraction? And like, what's your philosophy on it?
Absolutely. I just think that it's very important that we have media like in our lessons. We never know. I feel like the pandemic has let us know how important it is that we stay connected. And that was a really, really big connection to be able to do things virtually and to be able to still have our children have class at home. And we wouldn't been able to do that without this program. Now that we're back together, I still like that we still have that as an option for the families that are not.
And so you talked about your philosophy on media in the children's ministry, but also as just when you're in the normal church and you're not teaching, do you like churches with like a lot of media, or do you like churches that do not incorporate media? And what's the main difference that you see when churches incorporate the lights and the tech and churches that don't? And do you see that there's a difference, and do you see that it affects it, or like, what's your thoughts on that?
We have an actual media team in our place of worship, and I think it's really good because right now, you know, we can access live church. So the same way I'm sitting in the chair at church and hearing Pastor Tony, I can be at home if I'm not 100% well, and I can see Pastor Tony. And we always are encouraged, you know, at the beginning of service, to say hello to each other. And Pastor Tony always says hello to whoever's viewing him online. So we know that, and this is another avenue to have our church all around the world. We have families that are part of the church from Africa, from Europe, just everywhere. So this way it gets the God's word out to places that wouldn't be able to necessarily come. They still are able to be with us every Sunday. And so to me, it's a positive thing.
Yeah. And so do you think that, have you been to other churches that didn't incorporate media? And did you feel like it was a difference? Like, was one church more distracting than other? And could you see how people get distracted with media? Or like, do you think of, like, if you had one thing that you didn't like about the media aspect, could you think of one?
I can't really think of something I don't like about it. I know when I went to other churches that didn't have it, I kind of thought like, wow, this is a really nice church and it was a really good message. And that's just too bad that they don't have a media team pushing this out to the community so they can be a part of this experience. So in some ways I was just sad. But I never felt the media was a distraction at all to service. Actually, it was a bonus because that way we got to hear from our pastor who all were reaching. And so the more people that are going after God, the better.
Now, switching back to a teacher's perspective. So, you know, as a teacher, having electronics and phones and all these devices are used as distractions, but you guys are using animations and tech to like teach children about like the Bible stories and all that. But also, do you feel like traditionally just using the Bible and how you did it back in 2005 when you started in ministry, and now, do you feel like there's a difference? Do you feel like using the tech in the ministry has enhanced experience for better education? Or do you think that sticking to the basic, and like, what's that difference and how have you viewed that?
I feel like we're going kind of like where this generation is, which is high tech. And so we know all the children have the phones. We know children are used to smart boards, animation. Children mostly are all used to with us having to have school virtually. And so we're just kind of staying with the times. We're staying with what their children have access to and what they're used to. And so we want to stay on top of that. I feel like it's always good to be able to go back to the times where we didn't have as much technology, just because with technology, you know, you have computer glitches and maybe sometimes the systems aren't working. So we can always resort to things that are more basic. But for the most part, I feel like it's a blessing and it enhances the children's ministry. And it is basically become a mainstream thing. And it's what the children are used to. And it's what we as a church are all used to now as well.
And do you think that it has enhanced education of spreading the word of God, and especially or educating children about Jesus.
I feel like it has enhanced. And I mean, just to know that our children can have an app pulled up on their phone and they are able to be plugged in that way, it just makes life more simple. And again, it's another option, a good option for our children when they're away from church to still be connected.
Yeah. You know what they say about the grass, what you. And so then my final question for you is that if you could advise another person in children's ministry about how to implement technology and media in children's ministry, what advice would you give to them?
My advice would be to kind of start slow and find out, depending on the age group of the children, start with smart boards. The children definitely love videos. All kids are gravitated towards using computers and just kind of take it from there. I think in some places where maybe you just didn't have, it was just kind of some idle time, that could be an opportunity to use an app. Or that could be a time to use one of our virtual worship programs and get the kids engaged in that. So I just think that each teacher would have to just kind of customize the experience for their class, depending on the need and the age group of their children.
Yeah, well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. It was so nice to be able to sit down and talk with you.
I enjoyed learning all about KBA and got more insight from Benita. Now I transition into my second interview with Brandon Hedgepeth, who also works in media and the ministry. We get to hear insight about how his church transitioned when they integrated media and what his philosophy is on it in the church. All right, so our next guest is going to be Brandon Hedgepeth, and he works for his church doing media broadcasts. Brandon, thank you for being here.
Oh, yeah, of course, I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. So let's go straight into it. So, what is your philosophy on media and the ministry?
All
Or
right,
just the ministry?
so for me, I really believe that media ministry like play hand in hand in terms of helping to deliver the message of the Lord. And so for me, I actually believe that by it being able to utilize these resources and this media, we're really able to help broadcast the word further than just the walls of the church building. And so for people who are not just physically there, they're able to be a part of that experience. And so whether they're just, stuck at home and or in traffic or wherever the case may be, they're actually able to come along with it, come enjoy the journey, and still be with their fellow peers, even if it's just in a spiritual sense. And so that truly is one of my beliefs. And I think it both has its positive and negative drawbacks, but I'm sure that would be a question later. So I'll reserve that for that question.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, and good intro. And what is your personal experience? I know you work with your church or for a church. I'm not specifically sure if it's your church, but you work with your church in direct to media. And so, what is that experience? What has that been like?
All right, so yes, that is correct. So for me, I work for a different church than my home church, but I work for a Presbyterian church, Highwood Presbyterian Church in Newport News, Virginia. And that is overall a really great experience. I've been doing that since February 2022, so a few months now. And so typically speaking, I'm one of the two AV techs. And so we alternate as to whether who does the streaming and media production for each week going in. And so I've done several weeks thus far, and I will actually be doing so again this upcoming week. But overall, it's been a really pleasant experience. And for me, I've had different experience within production before, but this probably is one of the most unique ways because it's able to combine two things I really enjoy, being within a nice church body and then also being able to utilize my skill sets and being able to live stream productions. And so being with such great people and being able to absorb their energy and their like determination to get closer to God and to spread his word. I mean, there's just two things that I really enjoy together.
Yeah. And for the viewers that are listening at home that are not in MediaCom production, can you describe what that position is called?
So in this case, it is audiovisual technician. And so different, there's a whole bunch of different titles that can be used for this position. And so some may, you know, call it streaming director or video director, however, you know, whichever church or production in general would like to call it. And so in the case of this church, there's usually only one person per Sundays, at least in terms of managing the live streams. There's other media people to do the stuff for the members of the congregation who are there in person. But I think it all depends on, like I said earlier, just how many people are within the team. And so in which case, I guess I wear many hats. And so it's nice being a part of a smaller production in this case, but I'm kind of used to everything, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And so what is your congregation of that Pacific church that you work in?
As in the, like, the Christian
demographic and kind of like the background, like, is it like a smaller church or is it like a supersized church that has a budget to use type of media? And like, so what's like the senses of your location?
So I would say this would be a smaller church setting, probably actually a little bit smaller than my home church. However, I would say that their reach are people who generally have been a part of the church for extensive periods of time, maybe not necessarily decades, but at least going into maybe the decade mark, so maybe 7, 8, 9 years. And so a lot of these members, yeah, are very into the word of the Lord and have been for quite some time. And so in terms of denomination, this is a Presbyterian one. For my home church, I am Baptist, but the one I work for is Presbyterian. And so for me going into it, it's definitely been a little bit of a learning experience, seeing the differences between the two denominations. But I personally love being able to be introduced to different demographics than what I'm used to, because it helps me better understand them. And I mean, I've been enjoying it thus far, and it's just been such a great experience overall.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you just said that. In a recent, like recently, I guess when this airs, it will be a couple weeks from now. But in the class that I just came out of, we talked about the top two denominations that use the most media is non-denominational and Baptist. So that was an interesting point that I just learned. So in terms of for this church, what does your media look like? And how do you integrate it?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. So in terms of what it looks like, so for the people who are sitting there in person, I'll start there. They have PowerPoints for each service that generally play on the screen. And so for those people, it tells you stuff such as the welcome, any announcements that there may or may not be, the names of the songs or hymns that they go over, and truly anything else that they really discuss. And so for me, and being able to transmit it on the live stream broadcast, I usually actually take a lot of that information and transfer it over using a program called ProPresenter. And so I'm able to sort of go through the, not really slides, but go through the, like, I guess the different, I guess I'm going to call it slides, but going through the different slides and being able to overlay those graphics over the church service that I'm recording. And we're using two pan-tilt zoom cameras, and so, or PTZ. And so those are really nice cameras that are able to, I guess, really show like the full depth of the church. And so, that's sort of,
I know, go ahead. Then finish your thought.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it just shows the real depth of the whole situation. And I mean, it's a really great way to convey. It's simple, but it gets the job done really well in a very professional manner. But you can go ahead.
No, I was going to say, does your congregation get involved? Like, who's your crew? Is it volunteers? Do you have a paid media minister?
Okay, so yeah, so I'm actually a paid member of it. And we also have someone who does the in-house PowerPoint, who's also a paid member. And so we actually alternate. And so sometimes they are people who have been members of the church for a while and are part of their worship committee. And other times they're people who just volunteer their time. And so a lot of people really, even if they don't necessarily get hands-on with it, a lot of people come up to us and ask, "Ooh, what is it that you do?" And they want to really see the whole depth of it, because they really don't get a chance to see it aside from clicking onto the YouTube feed. But, you know, being able to see it live up close and in person. And so, yeah, we have an interesting dynamic right there. But overall, though, we have a rather small crew, because the pan-tilt zoom camera and the live stream are both operated by myself. But there is someone else who's doing the in-house stuff. And so usually it might be like a 3 or 4 person, I guess, setup in that sense for the crew. But we're sort of all doing our own roles independently, but together, if that sort of makes any sense.
No, yes, that makes so much sense. Yeah, so how did your congregation react when you integrated the media and ministry? I know that you said that you just started working on it back in February, but did you have any background knowledge of like the integration of how they introduced it, and was this something new?
Yeah, so in terms of that, this is something that's actually really interesting, because I did get the whole background on it. And so, as per, I'm sure, for many congregations, this did start with the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. And it wasn't necessarily new to the church, but it was the first time they did it on a consistent rolling basis. And so there was a AV technician before me who still alternates with me now. And so for them, they just took it on as a personal project right before the pandemic hit. So actually maybe like a week or two before. And so they just thought it was going to be a fun thing to do. And so, yeah, they had just been doing it from there. And so they did want some help, though. And so I went ahead and came in and started helping out. And so they eventually switched from amateur equipment to professional equipment, I believe, about a month or two prior to me joining on. And so it's all sort of new for everyone, still getting fully adjusted. But it just truly looks phenomenal when you see the end result.
Yeah, no, awesome. Yeah, and I'm really glad that they were able to appreciate that. I know that with COVID-19, a lot of people before, especially in small churches that are not Baptist and non-denominational, tend to lean away from mainstream because they feel like it's a distraction. So it's very interesting that your church embraced it, and that was really cool. And so, speaking of that, what, as a person that works in media ministry, what do you think, you know, COVID-19 showed us the potential and how impactful using ministry in the media, ministry in the media, oh my gosh, saying that back to back all the time. It can be instrumental to making sure people are seeing the broadcast, especially when they're not in church. And so how can we expand on that? And what is your church doing to expand on that? And what do you think you guys are going to integrate as we are learning how great this tool is, especially for the ministry?
Oh, yeah. So I guess if I understood this correctly, certainly COVID-19 has shown us that things can be done differently, and that differently doesn't have to mean bad. I know everyone that I know, at least, is thinking virtual bad, but no, that correlation isn't necessarily there. It's just more so that COVID-19 pandemic sort of just forced it on us. But really, when we take a step back and try to work to incorporate it, we're able to see that it introduced us to a whole new audience. And so one of the reasons that they brought me on was to expand this as a permanent mainstay for the church going forward. And by being able to do this, we're able to truly show that not only can the church withstand time, but it's also able to continue to grow and evolve, just like us, just like we do. And so by being able to incorporate this type of media into the church, we're able to truly expand what is possible and reach further depths as to, you know, truly being able to worship together just in a different way. And so you don't necessarily have to be able to look around and shake everyone's hands during meet and greet, as much as I loved that time, but we're still able to communicate in other ways. And so it's really up to the church as to how far do they think that they can go. And so it's not a passive thing. It has to be an active engagement, like, you know, reaching out. And so one of the things they do at Highwood Presbyterian Church is that they speak directly to the Zoom audience, or, well, YouTube audience rather, in the beginning of each service and thanking them for coming on. Even though that there's in-person people waiting there, it's just those simple interactions truly make a difference.
Yeah. And it's very interesting, just to end it off, is that more people are now becoming accustomed, especially in the older generation, of watching church at home before they walk into church in person now. So it's definitely interesting. And also it's great that your church is taking that intentionality of making sure that they're important. So yeah, it's good to hear. And thank you, Brandon, for coming on and giving me your knowledge of your perspective of media in the ministry. So I appreciate you.
Oh yeah, of course. I'm super glad that you had asked, and thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity.
Yes, of course. You take care.
You as well. Thank you.
I hope you guys enjoyed hearing from Brandon and Benita. I sure did. It's always great to talk about different perspectives on media and ministry, especially two people that come from two different generations, but also two different backgrounds in their ministry.